The text for this evening is from verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. For this reason I remind you, says Paul, to fan into flame the gift of God. There's a Hollywood film called Throw Mama from the Train, you might remember, starring Billy Crystal, in which the unlikely hero leads an evening class on the subject of writing. And he closes each of his classes with the exhortation, "Remember, a writer writes." And I shall be closing the talk this evening with the exhortation, "And remember, a Christian uses their gift." In our series on gifts of God to his people, we're turning now to the matter of charismatic gifts. And before people start getting overexcited and going ouch at the use of the word charismatic, it's simply the ancient Greek word for gift. And we should all want charismatic gifts, but we need to bring that word back to what it should mean. And what better time to tackle this subject of gifts than at Christmas time, when the human race celebrates the longest lasting and most precious gift of all, Jesus and the gospel promise of eternal life. Let's put a little background into this letter of Timothy. It was Paul's last letter that he wrote. It was written from prison in Rome. And Timothy is the man to whom Paul is entrusting his ministry. And as the wise old apostle looks back over his many years of Christian work with all the experience that that has brought, Paul imparts his most vital teaching to Timothy and to every Christian who has a ministry. In short, that's all of us, you and me. And there are six major lessons given by Paul around which this letter hangs. And we're looking this evening at the first of those, this fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Eddie and Susan were on a long car journey to the Lake District when they stopped for a drink in a Lancashire town. Eddie loved sugar in his coffee, so he took not one, not two, but 3 teaspoonfuls of sugar. As the waitress watched, Eddie said, "Can we please have some more sugar for this table?" The no-nonsense Lancastrian waitress looked directly at Andy and said, "Listen, love, before I give you any more sugar, you stir what you got already." Now, I think the great Apostle Paul would be on the side of the waitress in that situation. Get on with it and use the good stuff you have already. Don't waste it. Because we're going to look at this issue of gifts under three headings tonight. As Ben pointed out, we're not in a position to have the overhead, so I'll try and mark those as clearly as I can. These headings are going to be: what kind of gifts do we mean? Then secondly, how should I use my gifts? And thirdly, what are my gifts? So the first one, what kind of gifts do we mean? Well, first of all, some general ground rules. My father, who's visited here a couple of times, was a housemaster at a large school in the north of England, and he had one major aspiration for the boys who passed through Fleur-de-Lis House, and that was this: to find at least one thing that each boy could do well, and to give them the opportunity and encouragement to do it. It might be academic subjects, or sport, or art, but whatever it was, firstly, it should be something to give that person confidence and a sense of self-worth, because it's what we do that gives us those things. And then secondly, it should be something to contribute to school life and the wider community that could continue into the pupil's adult life. Sorry, students. You call them students now, don't you? In short, he wanted to find their talent or gift and fan it into flame. Now, everyone knows that talents are gifts from God. How many times do you hear non-Christians describe people as gifted? Subconsciously, at the very least, they recognise that in the first place, our abilities are not self-created, but created by an external and generous present giver, God. What they're admiring in others, however, tends to be how that person has used and developed the talent and the fact that they're using it so effectively. Gifts may be God-given, but they need to be people-nurtured. Well, God gives gifts to us through the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 says that God testifies to his salvation through the gift of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And every gift is given for the same reason and has the same ultimate purpose, which is to glorify Jesus and his gospel. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6, Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Every single gift works towards the overall work and purpose of God. And gifts work by, building us up with a sense of identity to serve other people inside the church and then people outside the church by proclamation of the gospel. The church family is a body of people, as 1 Corinthians goes on to say, and which was read out for us, where everyone, even the knobbly knees and funny ears, have a vital role to play. Our church family will only function properly when everyone, no matter what task they perform, is doing it willingly, faithfully, and consistently. A few chapters later, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says we should try to excel in gifts that build up the church. We'd suffer if any part stopped working or wanted to do something else, wouldn't we? For example, if the preacher just one Sunday refused to take to the pulpit but wanted to sit quietly in the pews with the rest of us. Or if the folks who make the tea and coffee on Sunday or put the chairs out were to declare themselves Bible readers and we got six people all trying to crowd round the microphone to do the reading. It doesn't work. Well, to get the benefit of our gifts and to be able to do our bit, we've got to look after them and not discard them. How do you think God would feel if he sees us chucking his gifts into a dark corner and letting them rot? And before Jesus, no one's job or gift is any less important than any other in this gospel work. Never underestimate what you might do or what somebody else does. But whatever you do, don't be a spectator. Do it. Don't treat God's gift to you as something to be ignored and thrown away. Fan it into flame. Indeed, you know, the old aphorism, use it or lose it, is very apt here. In Mark chapter 4 and 25, Jesus, talking about the church family's main task of gospel evangelism, says, whoever has, more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Use it or lose it. All right, what are the types of gift? Well, to help us identify exactly what gifts are, I put a diagram, which, because I have no projector, I've put on the bottom of those the question sheets there for you. And in this diagram, I'm suggesting that there are two main categories of gift, both of which divide into two subdivisions. Firstly, there's natural gifts, that is, the gifts and abilities that we bring largely from outside church life and which have developed naturally from birth. And into that we get the subdivisions of gifts of character and gifts of activity. Now, by gifts of character, I'm thinking of gifts such as generosity, of listening patiently, of friendliness and compassion. And then for gifts of activity, it could be hospitality, running sports like Gareth does, acting and dancing, composing and playing music, art, design, cooking, mechanics and DIY maintenance, audiovisual and computing skills. These are all things that we need in a church. And then the second major type of gift I'm suggesting is spiritual gift. Those are the ones that are given specifically by the Holy Spirit within the context of the church. And the subdivisions of that spiritual type are these: common gifts and specific gifts. Now, with common gifts, I'm thinking here of things such as faith, of intercessory prayer, of a desire for evangelism and the service of others. Things that all that mark out all Christians. The marks that help you become a Christian in the first place. And then there are the specific gifts which are often listed in the letters in the New Testament. Things like Bible teaching, church leadership and administration, biblical wisdom and discernment, judgment and discipline. Now, I'm just trying to give you a sort of a useful categorization there. I'm not suggesting they should be hard and fast, because obviously there's a lot of crossover within those different examples that I've cited, but it I think a useful way to start to think about them. Now, I hope perhaps in those examples as well, you might have spotted at least one thing you think you might have that gift, or one thing you'd like to do, perhaps something you bring from outside the church, or something that you think you might have a calling to do. Well, get on with it, a lot of people would say. But first, just stop, discuss it with friends, discuss it with the leadership, and help other Christians to firstly confirm your thoughts and then help you in doing something practical. Right? We all get bees in our bonnet from time to time that God's called us to this, that and the other. Very important just to sort of stop and mull it over and get some input from other people. So what about using my gifts? Part two. How should I use my gifts? Well, the short answer to that question is selflessly. Just use them for God's glory inside and outside the church. In many cases, God takes the natural gifts and skills we have already and enhances them by giving us plenty of opportunity to use them. I hope you agree with me that church actually does provide many more opportunities to use and develop skills than the world outside does generally. But conversely, God also uses the gifts gained and expanded in church for us to use outside the church. In my own experience, in my current job, I need to be able to teach and present to small groups of people. I learned those skills inside the church. The music is probably what I brought from outside, but I've never played so much in such a varied styles and music than since the day Jesus called me into his church. And to be honest, it's been great fun. And I hope and I think it's benefited other people. And it's a sheer delight. Do you know, I have absolutely no problem giving CDs of my Christian songs to Muslims that I meet on my travels around different customers. It's fantastic. They don't mind. That they often ask for more. One of the most interesting aspects of that whole experience to me is this. I'm no longer precious and protective of my music, worried about copyright. And from the day I believed, I couldn't care less about making it as a professional musician. Whereas before, it was all I ever dreamed about. And as I look back on what the Holy Spirit did to change me, it was this. And please, I don't want any credit for this. I'm just reporting the facts. It was, he changed me to enjoy and use the gifts he'd given to me. And because Jesus had done all that he had for me, absolutely free of charge, to give away my gift of music to others absolutely free of charge, and out of thankfulness to him, and to testify to him. It was and is an amazingly liberating feeling and a change of attitude. And it's a gift of God. The Holy Spirit has taught me through experience the truth of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that gifts are what you're prepared to use to glorify Jesus without reward from others. They're not for our self-aggrandizement. Paul puts it like this in that letter as he explains why he ministers free of charge to the Corinthians. He says, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. A story to help, just as another example. Jim was a window cleaner, an uneducated man. He'd become a Christian and wanted to serve in some way. He'd noticed that the church windows were always dirty from the smoke of the factories and the roads nearby. And the cleaning contractors only ever bothered to clean them twice a year, and within the week they were dirty again. So he decided that he'd wash them for free, and he was given the keys every Saturday afternoon. And everyone was delighted, and a few even commented to him in the early days on what a good job he was doing. Well, work was always difficult to get for Jim. And a while later, he was very excited to be offered a contract at a local school. But when he discovered that he could only have access to the school on Saturday afternoons, and that the church was unable to find another time slot for him, he reluctantly turned down the school contract. Well, over time, everyone in the church forgot about Jim's regular work of service and came to expect clean windows as a matter of course. Even the pastor forgot. And at a general church meeting, he absent-mindedly mentioned what an excellent job the cleaning contractors did on the windows. Poor Jim sat in the congregation and said nothing, and no one remembered it was actually him who washed them. Despite his bitter disappointment, Jim carried on giving up his Saturday afternoons, and the church windows are still cleaned week after week. Why? Because he's serving. He never did the job to be served. So when it didn't serve his reputation or his ego, or bring him thanks and encouragement, he didn't mind. That was irrelevant. He was serving Jesus. All right, so what gifts are we talking about? How should I use my gifts? And then thirdly, what are my gifts? Because identifying your gift is actually, can be rather more difficult than it might seem. A helpful way to find out might be to ask yourself a number of questions like these. What can I do? What am I good at? What do I want to do? What would people find useful and helpful? Would it help towards people hearing the gospel? And then ask other people perhaps those same questions about you. And interestingly, you might get a few surprises if you do that. One of the buzzwords in church circles these last few years has been what is called every member ministry. And as part of that drive to inspire every individual in a church fellowship, some churches have been through a process of evaluating people's gifts. We did something along those lines at Christ Church a while back when we asked everyone to identify what activities of church life they felt they were good at or what they could help with. Well, a good friend of mine, Alan Cope, took this a step further in his church and got others in the church to identify what individuals were good at. And the two lists didn't always match, and there were some shocks for some people as they discovered they were highly valued for skills they didn't even know they had. It was quite a regular occurrence. And also, Alan would use psychometric testing to help people through this process. Alan is a qualified psychometric in psychometric testing from his day job, and he used the technique learned outside church to help people inside church understand where their strengths lay and how they could use them to help the church in its ministry to those outside the church. So you see, he was sort of demonstrating exactly what it was he was trying to encourage. It was a wonderful godly thing to do. It seems to be this kind of gifting of asking others and getting their confirmation that might have primarily identified by others that Timothy had in our 2 Timothy passage. It was Paul and the other leaders who had laid their hands on Timothy to commission him in using his gifts, which suggests that he might have not been sure or even realised his gift in the first place. But anyway, whatever, he had wisely allowed other Christians to ensure that as he set out to use that gift, it was what God wanted. Well, for young men and women and teens, it can be probably especially difficult to figure out a skill and how to use it. And perhaps the best advice that anyone could give is just, well, start in a small way. Make sure you're reliable and always turn up to support church events. Just supporting and being there in itself, being part of the family, is a very, very useful, good start. It encourages others. Perhaps help put chairs out every week and putting them away without being prompted to do so. And meet up together and organise activities outside and inside church. And being especially kind to those who look a bit left out. And perhaps at one of your meetings, or if you meet together later this evening, you can discuss these things between yourselves and figure out, perhaps try and help one another, figure out something that you could all set about doing that would be helpful for our church family. I've lost my last page. Oh, there it is. Well, charismatic gifts is a big topic in the Bible, and we could spend the whole of 2009 studying them. So, you know, this really has been much an introduction to understand what they are and why they're important, how to identify them, and how to set about using them. And let's remember that using your gift was top of Paul's list as he sat to write this last letter with its most vital lessons for effective ministry. Well, is Christ Church effective at the ministry and individual ministries that it's been given by Jesus? And will it stay that way? Do we walk the talk of every member ministry? A word of encouragement and warning as we close. A farmer had a team of horses in which one horse consistently worked harder than any of the others. Well, one day the farmer was leaning over the paddock fencing with a visitor to his farm, watching the horses graze and talking about them. "Ah, they're all willing horses," he commented to the visitor. "That one there's willing to pull, and the rest of them are willing to let him." Sadly, that can all too often be an accurate description of the local church. In fact, pastors often refer to what they call the 80-20 rule, which states that 20% of the church members do 80% of the work. But I'm sure God never intended it to be that way. He intended that all whom he saved should serve his cause in some capacity. Wouldn't it be great if Christchurch was an exception to that 80-20 rule? It's all too easy to be carried along and never bother with using our own initiative to admire others but ignore our own gifting. Well, if you were wondering about a New Year's resolution, then what about identifying your gift or gifts and how you could use them and then doing it? Talk to somebody already involved in the area you're interested in. Discuss it with the leadership, as we've already mentioned it. Be commissioned in it. And remember, just as the writer writes, so a Christian uses their gift. Fan your gift into flame. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you send, the gift of Jesus Christ to live in us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Thank you that you use us in your great work of sending the gospel out and bringing people into your kingdom. Thank you for all the abilities and skills you give us, and thank you for all the fun you give us along the way of using those. Thank you also for the lessons that we learn and for the way it improves and rounds our lives and helps the lives of others. Lord, would you help us as a church, each and every one of us, to know and understand and recognize the gifts that you have given, that you want us to use, how you want us to use them, and provide those opportunities for us to use them, and make all the time that we are doing so, may it be with that clear purpose that they are there to serve the body of Christ Church in proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that this is the year of the Lord's favour, the year when the captives can be set free, saved from the coming judgment. Lord, send us out now to be your stewards, your servants, willing, thankful, grateful, and effective. Amen. Amen.